We read this evening from Matthew chapter 11. I want you to turn again to that place. Matthew chapter 11. You know, when you study the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you discover that He had a very balanced ministry. By that I mean He didn't just always preach the one thing. There are those who can never get past the love of God, and it's great to preach the love of God, and we do preach the love of God, but the Lord Jesus didn't just preach the love of God. He had, in His ministry and in His preaching ministry, He gave what we might describe as sincere invitations. You have one in this very passage in verse 28. He said, "Come unto me." So there you have an example of the Lord Jesus Christ and His ministry. And He's inviting men to come to Him to receive rest from their sins. Their sin was a burden. Their sin was weighing them down. They were laboring under it. It was a heavy laden to them. And therefore He said, "Come to me and I take the burden away and I give you rest." And so He invited men. And it is our task to invite men and women to come and receive rest and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was the Lord's ministry full of sincere invitations, but He also gave scriptural explanations. In other words, He explained the gospel. You remember when He spoke to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus didn't know how he could be born again. He said, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb?" And the Lord didn't send him away, calling him a fool for not understanding. No, the Lord took time to explain. And He spoke to Nicodemus about what it meant to be born of the Spirit. And for the Holy Ghost to enter in. And He pointed him to Calvary. He said, "The one that looks to the cross of Calvary, aye, in that very instant and moment, he's born again of the Spirit of God." So the Savior, He gave sincere invitations and He gave scriptural explanations, but He also gave solemn denunciations or solemn warnings. If you read Matthew chapter 23, you discover that 8 times He denounced the scribes and the Pharisees as being religious hypocrites who had an outward form of religion but did not have true saving faith in their hearts. And He went on to tell them in verse 33, He asked the question, or He made the statement, "How shall ye escape the damnation of hell?" He warned them about the judgment to come, that they faced hell and damnation if they didn't get right with Him. And I'm saying to you, the Lord had a balanced and a complete ministry. And in Matthew chapter 11, particularly verse 20 to 24, we see one of those solemn warnings that He gave. I have described it as a tale of 3 cities. For He names 3 cities. He names Chorazin. He names Bethsaida. And He names Capernaum. And then He tells us something about them. It was Charles Dickens who released and wrote a novel in 1859. It was called A Tale of 2 Cities. And it tells of the conditions in London and Paris just before, during, and after the French Revolution. It tells something about the character and the nature and what went on in those cities during that time. Well, here the Lord gives us the spiritual summary of 3 cities. They were on the northern tip of the Sea of Galilee. And He speaks about their blessings. He speaks about their rebellion. And ultimately He speaks about their judgment. And He's denouncing them for their sin. He's warning them of judgment to come. And in essence then He is entreating them and imploring them to get right with God for the judgment that is to come. The course, the tale of these 3 cities, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, I believe What Jesus said about these three cities is still relevant even in this year of 2016. And it's relevant not just for a city or a town, but it's relevant for individuals, individual people. What the Savior said and highlighted about these cities could be said and highlighted about individuals. I want us to learn those lessons tonight. I want us to take them to heart. And I want to see if they apply to us, even here, to anyone that is gathered with us in the service this evening. I want you to notice the first thing about these cities, and that is that they were favored cities. You look at verse 21, and he speaks about Chorazin and Bethsaida, the mighty works which were done in you. I want you to notice verse 23, where he speaks of Capernaum as being exalted to heaven. Here was a city, and the Lord declares that it was exalted to heaven in one sense, but it was in danger of being cast down to hell in another sense. And when the Lord speaks about Capernaum exalted to heaven, and he speaks about Bethsaida and Chorazin as having mighty works performed in them, he is referring to the spiritual privileges and blessings that those cities received. They were privileged to see the Savior's miracles. They were privileged to have the Savior in the midst. Do you know that Capernaum was one of the places where the Lord performed many, in fact, verse 20 tells us most of his mighty works were done. If you read Matthew chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 9, you read of miracle after miracle. He cleansed the leper there. He healed the centurion's servant there. He healed the man sick of the palsy there. He healed Peter's mother-in-law there. He raised Jairus' daughter back to life there. He healed the woman with the issue of blood there. He caused the blind man to see and the dumb to hear. He healed the nobleman's son. It was in that vicinity that he fed the 5,000. It was on the Sea of Galilee, just beside Capernaum, that he calmed the troubled sea and that he walked in the water. In fact, we read of this place and we are told that it was there in Mark chapter 1 verse 32 to 34. They brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and he healed many that were sick. It was there that the people marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Matthew 9 and 33. They actually marveled and they said, it's never been so seen in Israel that so many miracles and mighty works were done for and among the people. This was a place where the Lord did most. Matthew 11 and verse 20 says, most of his mighty works were done there. John 20 verse 30 and 31 tells us the reasons for his miracles. And it declares that Christ's miracles were to prove that he was the Son of God. That he was God manifested in the flesh. The Messiah who had come to earth to be the Savior of man. And they witnessed those miracles. But they not only were privileged to see the Lord's miracles. They were privileged to hear the Savior's ministry. It was in Capernaum that the Lord Jesus commenced his preaching ministry. We learn that from Matthew chapter 4 and verses 13 to 17. For there we read that it might be fulfilled by the prophet, spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the land of Zabulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach I should have read verse 13, just note verse 13. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. And then look at verse 17. And from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was also not only in Capernaum that the Lord commenced his public preaching ministry. It was in that place that he declared in the synagogue that he was indeed, and in fact, the Messiah in that general area. He commenced his public preaching. It was in Capernaum too that he declared, "I am the bread of life." And they had the opportunity to hear the one preach of whom it was said, "Never man speak like this man." There was never a preacher like Christ. Oh, we can talk about John the Baptist, the great prophet and preacher. We could name the preachers of the Old Testament. And we could go to the book of Acts and see how God blessed the preaching of the apostles. But never man speak like Christ. We read in Luke chapter 4 of his gracious words as he preached in the synagogue and how they looked upon him and they marveled as he preached. And I'm saying to you, these cities, Capernaum, Bethsaida, Chorazin, they had the privilege of seeing most of his mighty works, of hearing him preach in person. Those gracious and mighty words, they were a privileged people. They were a favored city. They were exalted to heaven as far as spiritual privileges were concerned. But look at the end of verse 20. They repented not. Spiritual privileges in and of themselves do not save the soul, and they do not produce repentance in the heart of man or the hearts of man. You think of Judas Iscariot. He was privileged to walk for 3 years in the company of Jesus. He listened to every sermon the Lord preached when he called his disciples. He was there in the upper room for a season when the Lord spoke the Paschal Discourse. He was there when the Lord saved the sinner, healed the sick. The Lord sent him out with the disciples. He was one of those who went out with the apostolic band as they preached the word. And yet Judas, his soul perished and was lost. Because the Bible teaches us that while spiritual privileges are a blessing that we should thank God for, yet those privileges in themselves do not save the soul. And I wonder tonight how many in this land of ours could say they have had spiritual privileges to the sense that they've been exalted to heaven. There are young people who have been brought up in Christian homes. Maybe now they've grown up to be old men or women, and they learned the gospel at an early age from their parents. They were sent to a Sabbath school that they were taught the gospel, and a church that preached the gospel. They were brought along to meeting after meeting, and they heard sound doctrinal preaching. And yet they cast it aside and forsook it. They didn't use those spiritual privileges. And tonight finds them in the world in a state of sin. Listen, do not count on the fact that you were brought up in a Christian home. You attended a sound evangelical church. That you have sympathy with the gospel if you are not a Christian, if you have never come to the place where you have personally repented of your sin and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. There are those who can trace their heritage back to godly people. There are those who have witnessed revivings and evangelical awakenings. There are those who have sat under faithful gospel preaching. They have been the subjects of evangelistic efforts. They have witnessed notable conversions. But while those things are a blessing to see and behold and to have, and we would say to the young people, never despise the spiritual privileges God gives you. Yet those things in themselves do not save the soul and cannot make you right with God or ready for heaven. It was said in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And it's not the privileges that we have by birth or parentage or any other thing that bring us to the place of salvation, but it's personally knowing that we're born again of the Spirit of God. We've been washed in the Savior's blood and we've trusted in the Savior. Oh, these were favored cities in the privileges that they received. But the second thing we note tonight is they were foolish cities. Foolish because with the exception of a few, they repented not. Don't those words just strike you at the end of verse 20? They repented not. And it was then, in full view of the Lord's miraculous works, we stand amazed. Those of us who were born again were astounded that men and women could see the Lord heal the sick, give the blind their sight, raise the palsied man, that he could perform all those miracles. He could feed the 5,000. And yet they still go on hardened in their sin and reject the Savior. Wasn't the prophet right when he said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? Who can know it? Even with such evidences of Christ's saving power and the office of who he was and who he is, they still hardened their hearts against the Lord. How foolish they were. And you know, it was at that point the Lord made a tremendous statement here, and I can't pass by without mentioning it. But look at what he said when he upbraided and he denounced these cities. Look at verse 21. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And he mentions Gentile cities. There was Tyre, there was Sidon, and there was Sodom. And that's an amazing statement. Jesus declares that if those miracles, those works, those privileges had been given to Tyre, to Sidon, and Sodom, they would have repented. Sodom would not have been destroyed. That's an amazing statement. And I wonder tonight, could we apply it personally? Are there those in far off lands who have never heard the gospel, who have never been brought up in an evangelical Sabbath school, who have never been brought along to gospel meetings, who have never had a mother who taught them the gospel, a father who prayed for them? And if they had have had those spiritual privileges, they would have repented. Is that possible? That's the implication that Christ is giving here. And yet, God has given many in this province, many in this town, and maybe even some in this meeting, he has given you those opportunities and those privileges, and yet you have hardened your heart. You're still in your sin. You're saying, I'll not have this man to reign over me. And you're going on hardened against the Lord. What a statement that was. But can I go on from there and show you reasons why I believe they did not repent? In spite of God's opportunities, in spite of Him giving them those opportunities and those privileges, can I show you why they didn't repent? Would you turn over, please, to John chapter 6? John chapter 6. This passage of God's word brings us to the Lord working in Capernaum. You will see that. Verse 24 of John chapter 6. Look at the location. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. So John chapter 6 places the Lord in Capernaum, that city he has just denounced and upbraided for their hardness and for their rejection of him. He's there. Now look at verse 26 and 27. The Lord says something about them. These people are looking for the Lord, and because they didn't find him in one place, they came to Capernaum. But the Lord knew their hearts. And Jesus answered them. Verse 26, and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. They weren't seeking the Lord because of his miracles and because they wanted to acknowledge him as the Messiah and receive him as their Savior and crown him king of their lives. No, they were following him because they received the loaves. They ate and they were filled. They got, as it were, the free meal from him. Look at what the Lord says in verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. He says you're more interested in the earthly meat than you are in the meat of eternal life. And here's one reason why they did not repent, why they did not receive him. They put more emphasis and more importance on the earthly things, the temporal things, the things of time and sense, than they did upon their souls and the matter of salvation and eternal life. And I wonder, is that why the people of this time, and why individuals, and maybe even you, have not turned to the Lord up until now? Because you think more of this world and this life and the pleasures and the sins and the entertainments or the business of this life than you do of the world to come in your soul. The Lord says you repented not because you're more interested in the earthly and the temporal and the things of now, this world, than you are of having eternal life and getting right with God. That's why, one reason why they did not repent. And the Lord Jesus said in another place, he declared, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? The Lord's saying you need to get your priorities right. You need to see that eternity is more important than this life. You need to see that the world to come is a reality. And you need to seek the welfare of your soul before the welfare of your body. You need to see Christ. I believe if you remain in John 6 there, you'll see another reason why they did not repent. If you look down to verse 59, we're told in John 6, verse 59, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So, this part of the chapter brings us to the place where the Lord has been preaching. And he's preaching in Capernaum, one of the cities that he mentioned, that he rebuked. And I want you to see the response. I'm not going to dwell too much on what he actually preached, but I want you to see the response. Because this is the reason why they hardened their hearts. They rejected him. Look at verse 61. Tells us when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Now, I want to clarify at this point, the term disciples in this general passage is not so much a reference to the 12 disciples or the 12 apostles, but it's simply a reference to those who had been following him and professing to be his followers. Because if you look at verse 66, you will see that it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They had the outward profession, they were his disciples, but when he preached the doctrine of the gospel, he was preaching the truths of the gospel in that synagogue. He was telling them that they needed to repent. He was preaching the sovereignty of God and salvation. He was calling for them to forsake the world and turn unto the Lord. And yet because those things that he was saying, they offended the people. The message of the cross, there is an offense with the cross. And because they did not like the message and the ministry or part of it, they simply turned away. And there are those, and if all the message was about the love of God, well, they would embrace it and they'd be happy with it because God loves us and we can do whatever we like. And therefore, we'll be in heaven at the end of life. But there's another part of the message. And it says, repent, turn away from your sin. And they don't like that part of the message. So they simply say, no, we'll leave it and we'll set it to the side and we'll go away for this season. Just like these individuals, they were offended at the message, the claims and the call of the Lord. And so they turned back and turned away from him. And it was there in Capernaum. How foolish they were. With all the evidence before them that Christ was the promised Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who in the very same passage said, come to me and I will give you rest. And yet because they thought more of the things of this world, and because they didn't like some of the doctrines Christ preached, they turned away. And they followed him no more. And they turned away in their sin. I come tonight to my final point, and it is this. We have considered that these were favored cities, favored with great privileges. We have considered that they were foolish cities because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ in spite of all the evidence he gave and the ministry that he gave. I say tonight, these are fearful cities. I want you to look at verse 22 and then verse 24, the Lord Jesus declares, but I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Look at verse 24 about Capernaum. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. You'll notice there the Lord Jesus spoke about a day of judgment. He spoke in another place about the men of Nineveh rising in the day of judgment. He spoke about the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, rising in the day of judgment. Jesus taught there would be a day when he would judge the world in righteousness, and he would judge man, and he would judge all men. And he speaks about that day of judgment in relation to individuals from cities being cast down to hell. Look at verse 23. He says about Capernaum that it shall be brought down to hell. And on the day of judgment, when men and women stand before the Lord, having rejected him, and having despised the privileges and the opportunities he has given, they will be cast into hell. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. We read that in the scene of the judgment in Revelation chapter 20. But here's the very solemn thought that I want each one to see, for I believe it's relevant to those who live in Ulster and reject the gospel. The Lord declares that those who were taught the gospel, those who were invited to come to Christ, those who were privileged to have great spiritual works take place in their midst, if they reject Christ, then their judgment will be more severe than those who never heard the gospel. That's the conclusion the Lord comes to. It shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom, the people of Sodom, and for the people of Tyre and Sidon. For they never had the opportunities that Capernaum, Chorazin, and Bethsaida were given. In Matthew chapter 23, the Lord told the Pharisees and the scribes that they would receive greater damnation. And just as there are degrees of reward in heaven, there are degrees of suffering in hell. And those who have greater privileges will be judged by their privileges. Luke 12 and 48, Jesus said, "Unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." In other words, God will judge us by our privileges. And those that were given greater privileges will be judged by them. And I say in conclusion tonight, the man or woman that lives in Ulster, with all its evangelical preaching, the one who is brought up in the fear and admonition of a Christian home, taught the gospel, and is exhorted to get right with God, the sad reality is that if they reject Christ and harden their hearts, and if I'm talking to you, oh, listen, take the warning from the Lord Himself. If that describes you and your heart is hard against the Lord, then your judgment in hell will be greater, will be more severe than the man or woman who lived in the deepest, darkest jungle, never heard the name of Jesus, but still perished in their sin. I tell you, that's a fearful thing. That's a solemn reality. And it ought to spur men and women who know the truth and have never responded sincerely to it by turning from their sin and embracing Christ and calling upon Him to be their Savior. It ought to move them. And it ought to move you to seek the Lord while He may be found and to call upon Him while He is near. A tale of three cities. Given great privileges, but foolishly rejected Christ, and they were brought down to hell. May it not be a tale of your life and your death and your eternity.